Let's pray for John. Father God, we thank you for who you are and all you've done for us. Lord, we thank you for John. And Lord, we thank you for who he is and who he is becoming. And Lord, we thank you for the words that you whispered into his heart in the quietness as he's prepared. And give him the authority by your Spirit to speak them into our hearts in this moment. Amen.
Good morning. I was actually tempted to come down this morning with a white suit on and a big Bible and make my entrance down them steps. With as we continue through our series of the Psalms, this morning we're looking at Psalm 96. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless his name. Tell of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous works among all the peoples. For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. And he is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of all the peoples are worthless idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of the peoples. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due to his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Yes, the world is established. It shall never be moved. He will judge the peoples with equity. Let the heavens be glad and let the earth rejoice. Let the sea roar and all that fills it. Let the field exult and everything in it. Then shall all the trees of the forest sing for joy. Before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the people in his faithfulness. Psalm 96, it's an all beautiful psalm, and it's you could actually preach a sermon from each verse on it. It begins in the first two verses with, sing a new song to the Lord. Let the whole earth sing to the Lord. Sing to the Lord, praise his name. Three times in the first two verses, we are told to sing to the Lord. Personally, I'm not a singer, and this was made clear to me many years ago when I went to audition for Euston Street Primary School Choir, and I sung two lines, and Miss Clark told me not to come back. But I don't let my singing ability stop me when I come to church and I sing praises to my Father in heaven. There's nothing I love more than to sing along to worship music. The Bible actually contains over 400 references to singing and 50 direct commands to sing. The book of Psalms is a book of songs. And in the New Testament, we're commanded not once but twice to sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs together when we meet. Ephesians 5, verse 19 talks about to be filled with the Holy Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, making, and melody to the Lord with your heart. And Colossians 3, verse 16 says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Our singing is more than a sermon or a warm-up for the sermon or a filler in the service. Colossians 3:16 is clearly laying out for us that singing stands alongside of preaching as one of the two great ways that God has ordained his word to dwell in each one of us. The American preacher C.J. Mahaney calls church singing take-home theology because he says that the songs that we sing together serve as a three-minute, easy memorizable, deeply biblical summary of important truths from Scripture. For example, take the song In Christ Alone. There is an easy memorizable form. You've got a thorough theology of the cross of Jesus Christ with clear and practical applications. You know, when we do Alpha, over the last few years, we've started each night with a couple of worship songs. This is a bit of a shock for people who don't normally come to church. But on a few occasions, people have came to me at the end of Alpha and said that it was actually the words of the songs that spoke to them more than it was in the talks. I personally think for some people it's a case of when you listen to a sermon, you have to think with your brain and try and keep focused. But when you sing, you're worshiping from your heart, and it's also easy to remember the words. So if singing's such an important part of what we do, and why do so many people stand there? just looking at the screens, not moving their lips. Someone once said to me that they would love to sing along in church, but their voice is terrible. And if you had stood beside me and James here, you would have knew that doesn't let you get in the way. But can I just say to you that when you come here to church, you're not singing to the person beside you. You're singing and worshiping and praising your God and Father. Worship is between you and God. It's not between anybody else. I always remember, you know, the first Sunday when I came to Willowfield, and when they stood up to sing, and I remember the guy in front of me standing with his hands near, and I'm standing looking at him going, whoa, what's he at? But I quickly came to get used to people with their hands in the air. But we were only here a few months, and we'd done a parish weekend, and I can remember I was sitting over there, we'd been here all day, and I was tired, and we started to worship, and I looked over here, and David McClay was lying flat on the floor. And I just says to Mandy, right, my wife, I says, get your coat, we're going. You know, we find it easy to worship our football teams and idols and pop stars. But when it comes to worshiping our God, our Creator, we sort of struggle. Charlene, our children's worker, shared a pretty young child who had just came to faith. And she was at children's church and she was singing and she had her hands high in the air. And Charlene says to her, why are you doing that? And she says, when I'm singing, I just want to try and reach up and touch God. You know, I used to say, that's great. Everyone with their hands in the air, and I'll never do that. Until one day, they just automatically went up. And it's amazing the freedom you get when you take away all them barriers when you worship. Worship's something that we need to get excited about. And when you get up on Sunday morning, do you get excited about coming down and singing to the Lord and praising his name? Or is coming to church just something you do? It's just out of habit now. It's just so, the wee box that you tick. That's a hard question. But if you're just coming here out of habit, and while others are worshiping, your mind's away somewhere elsewhere, I want to tell you what the scriptures tell us about worship and what happens when we enter into a state of worship and what you're missing out on. In Hebrews 12, 22-24, it talks about what it is to come into the presence of God. It says, so you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, under countless thousands of angels in a joyful gathering. You have come to the assembly of God's firstborn children, whose names are written in heaven. You have come to God himself, who is a judge over all things. You have come to the spirits and the righteous ones in heaven, who have been made perfect. You have come to Jesus, the one who mediates the new covenant between God and people, and to the sprinkled blood which speaks of forgiveness instead of crying out for vengeance like the blood of Abel. What this is telling us is that every time you come to worship, you're surrounded by thousands upon thousands of angels and the very presence of a living God. All those who have died in Christ join in the heavenly worship, and you join with billions of Christians alive now and those in heaven. Supremely, every time you worship, you've come to Jesus. Now, if that doesn't get you excited about singing, nothing will. The psalm then continues in verse 3. It says, tell of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous works among all the peoples. Or as the Message version puts it, shout the news of his victory from sea to sea. Take the news of his glory to the lost. News of his wonders to one and all. Get out the message, God rules. You know, it doesn't say that our church leaders or those in paid ministry roles are to go out and take the news to the lost. The psalmist is telling us that we are all to go out and proclaim his glory. The truth is that for a lot of people, the idea of going out there and sharing their faith scares the life out of them. So this morning I'm just going to share and hopefully encourage you from a few of the outreach ministries that we do here in Willowfield. And what happens, let you know what happens when you step out of your comfort zone to tell others and how you can get involved in sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. In 2017, we had a total of 76 people come to our Alpha courses. And over the last 4 years, we've seen over 50 people come to faith through Alpha and a number of other people recommit their lives. In April, we're going to run 2 Alpha courses. They're both starting on Thursday the 19th. And we're going to run one in the morning, starting at 11 a.m. And there's going to be a creche facility available at it. And it's going to be over in the church halls. Now, this is sort of targeted. It's for anybody, but we're trying to target single parents and for those who can't come out at night. And then on Thursday night at 8 o'clock, we're going to be doing our normal Alpha in here in the church. As I've said many times, sharing your faith is scary. And it also can be really hard to invite people to church. But it's easy to invite people to Alpha. Because most people out there are searching for answers. And Alpha gives them the opportunity to come and ask questions and get answers to them big questions. Most of us here will have family and friends and neighbors and work colleagues who don't know Jesus. Can I encourage you to pick two people right now and to start praying for them, invite them. And if you have to give up a few hours of your life, come along and bring them along to Alpha. Last year, we run a number of men's outreach events. We walked up the Mourne Mountains, which resulted in 40 men wanting to kill me because the walk was a few miles longer than I told them. We went go-karting, we went airsoft shooting, we went football, golf. We've done a number of things. In total, 147 men attended our outreach events last year. And two-thirds of them men now come from the local community. When we're running these events, keep your eye on the notice sheet for these events coming up and take the opportunity to invite a non-Christian friend along with you. And it's a great opportunity for you to come along with your friend and with a group of other men and have some fun. Many of you will know that we do healing on the streets on a Saturday morning here in Willowfield. We're up the Craigie Road every Saturday morning between 10:30 and 12:30. Last year, we prayed for 463 people on the roads or on the Craigie Road on a Saturday morning. I think that's amazing. And again, if you have somebody who's not a Christian, but who are ill and you would love to get them down and get prayed for, but you know that they'll not come to church, bring them out for a coffee on a Saturday morning and just bring them along and let us pray with them. Tonight, tomorrow night, and Tuesday night, as James was saying, we're running the production of Heaven's Gates, Hell's Flames. Everywhere this production goes, people are getting saved in big numbers. The problem is, if you don't bring people to see it, how can that happen? There's no point in us all sitting here as a church full of Christians watching this production going, oh, that's great, that's lovely. We need to bring people along. Now, I've been here all day yesterday while the cast were doing the rehearsals. And all the cast are out of this church and St. Brendan's church. And there was many tears shed. Even the angels on stage were crying at some of the scenes. It's powerful. It's powerful. But we need to bring people along to watch it. I don't want anyone sitting here next week and hearing that so many people get saved during these 3 nights and how good it was. And thinking, oh, I wish I had brought somebody. Also, when you're sharing your faith, I know it's so, so easy to be discouraged. You know, you sometimes when you invite people to things, they look at you like you've two heads or they would laugh at you. You know, and sometimes it's so easy to take it to heart. I know it's not the first time when I've been on the road and somebody has been really ignorant to you. And I fought the urge to run up behind him and give him a kick up the backside. But always fought that urge and prayed for them a blessing. But I know it is really, really sometimes that people can discourage you. But, you know, can I just share that 9 years ago, just over 9 years ago, Christians came to my door and I wouldn't even answer it. I sent my wife, Mandy, to answer the door. And they give her a Bible and off they went. And then the two elderly men, and they could have went about the rest of that night and had the same reaction everywhere and, you know, went home really discouraged. But little did they know that just over 9 months later, that was the start of the journey for me. And over 9 months later, that I would give my life to the Lord through them calling to my door with that Bible. So you never know what seed you plant. Every week also here in Mullerfield Church, we knock on doors. And I know that the idea of knocking on doors scares the life out of most people. But this gives us the opportunity to speak to local people, identify needs in the community, and pray and share the gospel with people when we get the chance. Each week, the name of the street that we will be visiting is in the notice sheet. And a great way for you to be involved in this ministry is just simply just to take that sheet home and pray for the street and pray for us as we're going to visit during that week. But also, starting after Easter on a Tuesday night, we normally do this on a Thursday morning, but as we're coming into late nights, we're going to meet here. We're going to change the door-to-door to a Tuesday night. But what we're wanting people to do is come along, pray with us before we go to the doors. And while we're praying, while we're knocking doors, it would be great to have a team of people just walking around the local streets and prayer walking. Another way that you can get involved is adopt a street. What adopt a street is there's over 120 streets in this parish. And what I'm asking people to do is, if you live in a local street, or if you want to pick a street somewhere beside where you live, or if you're outside the parish, that doesn't matter. There's a big map down the back of the church I've set up with all the streets on it. Go at the end of service, have a look at them streets. If anything stands out to you, come and speak to me. What we ask is that you pray for that street each day for 5 minutes. You prayer walk it whenever you get the opportunity. And when we do leaflet drops, like we're advertising for Holy Week and Heaven's Gates Hills Flames, you automatically just go and take the leaflets for that street. And that just gives you an opportunity to pray a prayer blessing through each door and perhaps get even into a conversation with someone. It's just a simple way where you can get involved in outreach. The psalm then continues to tell us why we should worship the Lord and proclaim his name. Verse 4 says, "For the Lord is great." Verse 5 says, "The Lord made the heavens and the earth." Verse 6 says, "Honor and majesty surround him." Verse 7 says, "The Lord is glorious and strong." Verse 8 says, "Give the Lord the glory he deserves." Verse 9 says, "Worship him in his holy splendor." Verse 10 says, "The Lord reigns." 11 and 12, "The whole of creation worships him." And then verse 13 tells us why it is so important that we know and worship our beautiful Lord. Verse 13 says, "For he is coming. He is coming to judge the earth. He will judge the world with justice and the nations with his truth." I'm just going to read from Revelation 20, 11 to 15 to see what the scripture says about this final judgment. "And I saw a great white throne and the one sitting on it. The earth and sky fled from his presence, but they found no place to hide. I saw the dead, both great and small, standing before God's throne, and the books were opened, including the book of life. And the dead were judged according to what they had done, as recorded in the books. The sea gave up its dead, and the death the grave. And death and the grave gave up their dead. And all were judged according to their deeds. Then death and the grave were thrown into the lake of fire. This lake of fire is the second death, and anyone whose name was not found recorded in the book of life was thrown into the lake of fire." It was definitely not by chance that I happened to get this psalm to preach on today, because this verse ties in perfectly with the production of Heaven's Gates, Hell's Flames. And it tells us about those who have put their trust in Christ. Sometimes in church we avoid talking about hell and so as not to offend people, but it is real. And those who do not know the truth need to be told before it's too late. It's our responsibility. Let's be honest, if none of us here had been told about Jesus by someone else, we wouldn't be sitting here. When he returns, are you ready? And if not, why not? What is it in this life that you're clinging to that stops you from taking the opportunity to give your life to Jesus? Can I just encourage you that if that's you here this morning, don't leave this building today without taking that opportunity to get right with God. And our prayer ministry team will be up here at the end. Just come up and speak to them, and they will lead you in a prayer. It's a simple prayer. Just to take that step and give your life to Jesus. For the rest of us, the challenge is this. Let us be intent on taking every opportunity we get to share our faith. Let's make it our priority to start praying and for and inviting people to Alpha and any other outreach event that is happening. Let's not miss the chance to bring people to Heaven's Gates, Hell's Flames over the next few nights. And let's start to worship God like we really mean it. And remember that as we worship, we are being joined by thousands upon thousands of angels. As the worship team come back up here, let us sing like we've never sung before. Lift our praises to God and join with all creation as we worship our Lord together. Amen.